It's great to see everybody here. It's nice to see the smiling faces, and missed you guys, your family. And so, been a long time apart, and hearing all the different stories is great. So, but still, good to be together. There's a story that's told about a little wave that's bobbing and having a grand old time. He was enjoying the wind. He was enjoying the sunshine. He was loving the fresh air. In fact, he was loving everything about his life until he noticed the other waves in front of him. And suddenly he noticed against the shore. And the little wave said, "Oh no, this is terrible. Look at what's going to happen to me." Along came another wave. And seeing this little wave looking terrified, he asked, "What's going on? Why do you look so sad?" And so the little wave said, "You don't understand." He said, "We're all of us waves. We're going to become nothing. Isn't that terrible?" And then the other wave says, "No, you don't understand. You're not a wave. You're part of the ocean. You're not a wave. You're part of the ocean." This is an aphorism that was shared in the book Tuesday. And it means we're not just individuals living by ourselves. It means we're all part of something that's much, much bigger. Now, I assume most of you here at one time or another have been to the ocean and had a chance to swim off the shore. And when you do that, if you look up, do you remember what you saw? When you do that, when you look up, you start realizing that all the waves are actually connected. This is an important concept, and it's a connection I think God expects us to learn as well. See, the holy days are annual reminders to help us keep this perspective, if you think about it that way. The spring holy days help us focus away from our selfishness, away from our lusts, our sinful desires for self, and we start realizing that we need something much bigger than ourselves to forgive us, to overcome our nature, and for our lives to have purpose. And then the fall festivals come along and they show the future plan God has and he's working out that's in the best interest of all humans. Not just me, all humans. Showing that we're part of God's special design plans for humanity. We celebrate Christ returning as King of Kings. We celebrate the resurrection of those who've accepted a life focused on something more than themselves. Submitting to their place in God's chosen ocean. These people become the first fruits of his future family. And you know, on the surface, life can make us feel lonely. It can make us feel separate. It can make us feel unique. But just like a wave bobbing in the ocean, we can't think that view or we're missing the big picture. As a young child, as a teen along the way, I think most of us naturally lived for self-pleasure. We lived to play. We lived to gratify self. And at that age, at a young age, that selfishness, that immature point of view seems fulfilling enough. And then with age comes maturity and the realization that there's far more meaning in life. And we gain perspective of being a little part in a huge world that's designed for a much, much more amazing purpose. So stop, reflect, and let's personalize this a little bit. Is your focus primarily on the struggles that you are facing personally? Over the last few weeks, have you been focused on yourself? Do we primarily see, feel, and focus on how everything in life, everything around us, impacts us? Or are we invigorated by being part of a greater whole for a greater purpose that's in the best interest of all? Turn to Joel 2, verses 1 through 18. Joel 2, verses 1 through 18. When we're by the ocean, when we're on the top of a mountain, or really if we're anywhere in nature, I think we've all experienced that feeling of being tiny in comparison to the grandeur that God put around us. All you have to do is go outside on a starry night where you don't have a whole lot of lights, and you can see the Milky Way. And it's powerful. And to think that's only a small part of our one galaxy, which is one of hundreds of billions. Similarly, the Bible uses a trumpet being blown to focus everyone, when they hear it, on a bigger picture, on something else going on. Joel 2, verse 1. Blow the trumpet in Zion, and sound an alarm in my holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord is coming, for it is at hand. A day of darkness and gloominess, a day of clouds and thick darkness, like the morning clouds spread over the mountains. A people come, great and strong, the likes of whom has never been, nor will ever be any such after them, even for many successive generations. A fire devouring before them, and behind them a flame burns. The land is like the Garden of Eden before them, and behind them a desolate wilderness. Surely nothing shall escape them. I go forward to verse 10. The earth quakes before them, the heavens tremble. The sun and moon grow dark, and the stars diminish their brightness. The Lord gives voice before his army, for his camp is very great. For strong is the Lord who executes his word. For the day of the Lord is great and very terrible. Who can endure it? So what's being described here is the time of Christ's return. And if God doesn't step in, then man would be so desirous of power, they would destroy all living things. They would fight for personal survival, for their individual wave, trying to protect their own best interest. And that's going to be what's going to happen. Ever since the time of Adam and Eve, God has tried to help us see that we are created to be part of something bigger than us. But we tend to fight that. Continue in verse 12. Now, therefore, says the Lord, turn to me with all your heart, with fasting, with weeping, and with mourning. So rend your heart and not your garments. Return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and of great kindness, and he relents from doing harm. Who knows if he will turn and relent and leave a blessing before him, a grain offering and a drink offering for the Lord your God. Blow the trumpet in Zion, consecrate a fast, call a sacred assembly. Do you catch those parts at the end? Blow a trumpet. That's referring to the Feast of Trumpets. Consecrate a fast. That's pointing toward the Feast of Atonement. And then those point to the sacred assembly when Christ will select those who see their role as waves in God's ocean, prioritizing achieving his greater plan above them, what we just celebrated at the Feast of Tabernacles. Let's read verse 18. Then the Lord will be zealous for his land and pity his people. Friends, we can spend too much time in life building or protecting our wants and our ego. In a sense, when we do this, we're trying to protect our individual wave. If we aren't properly viewing why we are here on earth, then we're going to focus on the situation, on the boundaries, on the constraints that make us happy or that limit us. And the fruits of that way of thinking are seen in a very, very frightening way in our world today. I don't know if you've seen, there's already plans that, like the Walmart in Bloomington and other areas, are planning to board up on Tuesday, expecting riots regardless of which side wins. There is all sorts of things being talked about of FBI warnings on projected tapping into medical records. It's a time of fear is really what's happening in this world these days. When the focus is on self, people focus predominantly on differences between us and them. We constantly focus on differences, then what happens is we start to feel depressed. We start to feel miserable and angry and lonely. And it makes our world divided because we look at everybody around as our potential enemy. Turn to Philippians 2, verses 4 through 10. Be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant, and coming in the likeness of men, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. In contrast, Jesus was willing to create the universe and every human in his likeness, knowing he would have to initially be denied by them and killed by them, his own creation. It's mind-blowing. But comprehending the lesson of life in general is effective. Are we the wave? Are we the ocean? Why are we here? And those who have the right perspective will be exalted. Verse 9, therefore God also has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, earth, and of those under the earth. See, Jesus endured this because he saw he was going to be part of a future spiritual family, with many members of the God family suddenly sharing the same loving outward focus for eternity. That's the ocean, and that's his life. Or if you want to continue the analogy, he willingly was willing to crash as a wave of part of that ocean of humanity into the rocks and the shore that he created in order to better the interests of the entire ocean, of all of us. Enlightenment is when the wave realizes it is part of the ocean. Do you view your life that way and what God has in mind? God wants us through repentance, through baptism, through obedience, to find spiritual enlightenment. When that happens, we remove selfishness and sin from our lives. We stop complaining of the burdens, the injustice, and all that we're having to sacrifice through or endure living without. Instead, we realize we have the amazing choice to be part of something so much bigger than ourselves. So the lesson to learn from the wave crashing on the beach is that we're not defined by our uniqueness, our differences, or our boundaries. Rather, we're created to be spiritually special because we're part of something so much greater as a whole than us individually, and God is shaping that whole for eternity. Christ exemplified for us what love really is. Love is when we're more concerned about someone else's situation than we are about our own. We realize we're part of this greater ocean of life. And as Christians, we are called to be part of a cause that is far bigger than any of us. Do we view life that way? Because in God's ocean, everyone has a role, everyone has a job, and everyone has a way to serve. Our purpose is to look out for those opportunities. What is our way to serve? What is our role? What is our job? If we remember that more, we'll find we're more at peace. We'll find we're more blissful. We'll find that we're happier. It's something to think about. Maybe when you're stuck in traffic or behind road construction or in a line being frustrated or your computer is not starting up. We can't achieve true success in our life without keeping the big picture. And the big picture is this. We are called to gain meaning in life through connection. That's where we gain meaning in life, is through connection. Are we doing that? There's nothing more beautiful than the way the ocean refuses to stop kissing the shoreline, no matter how many times it's sent away, because it's one fluid organism. God wants us to long to be part of something bigger and more meaningful that completes his plan. And when we do this, we do it because we realize that we're all part of this same spiritual body, the same ocean, and we will be part of a family together for eternity.